And we're coming up on 25 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, a vintner, a biochemist by trade. He uses a lot of that biochemistry experience in his pharmaceutical experience. You could make pills from wine, couldn't you?
Wine pills. Yeah.
Wine pills.
You just get the complete fact. You don't even have to drink it. Take just a little tablet.
Dissolve one in water, and you've got a glass of Chablis or whatever.
I think that defeats the purpose.
No.
Well, it certainly would be a lot quicker.
Think of the marketing angle, though. Hey.
Think of all the dirt you wouldn't have to move around.
There you go.
Don's vineyard and wineries in Garden Valley is about 80, 90 miles east of Dallas, and he does a fine job there. Won some awards on his wines already. And he's also a member of the board at Creation Moments, which is a ministry that deals with, reality, the scientific reality of the biblical story of creation. And we kind of dip into that one today. Don, we're back to basics here, and it has to do with artificial intelligence and the seeming need to make them humanoids. And it starts with a discussion, a description of a United Nations presser, I guess you could call it, questions posed by journalists to AI humanoids in Geneva. They had 9 or 10 of them, robots. Faces, lips that moved, eyes that scanned the room, heads that turned. In fact, I've got a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You can click on that and you can see short videos of these creatures and a slideshow. You can see what they look like. The issue is, though, why, and as they state in the article, I'll just read the sentence, why do originators and developers of artificial intelligence, AI, strive to represent the technology as human? It isn't necessary. AI does a lot of stuff anyway, with computer interfaces and cell phones and GPS technology. Why do we need to make them look like humans? What's the real motivation there, Don?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, why make them look like humans? The one thought would be, hey, they'd be more acceptable if they are human-like. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. I think it's brings us back to the original sin. And if you remember, in the garden, Eve was tempted by the serpent, who, of course, we know is the devil, is Lucifer, himself. She is tempted, and the temptation was, God doesn't want you to eat of that particular fruit from that tree because you will be like God. And so therein lies the desire to be like God, and if not to be like God, to be God. And so, we try to create things that look human, look like us. And with the ultimate goal, of course, is to have us live forever. If we could make a humanoid that looked like us, that acted like us, that behaved like us, that talked like us, then maybe we could figure out this connection. They're already doing machine to mind connections. Eventually, we could figure out how to transfer our intelligence and our soul, if you speak, into these humanoids once we've perfected them. I mean, the ones that they show in this particular article, at least with the links, they're not human, but they're beginning to look like humans, and they have facial expressions, and they speak, and they respond to questions and things like that. But the ultimate desire, of course, is, if I can make one of these things, it's not going to have disease. It's not going to degenerate. If I could transfer my consciousness over to it, then I could live forever.
Aha, immortality.
immortality. And so therein lies one of the basic desires of man, is that we don't want to die. We want to live forever. And the fallacy in all of this is, you know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have eternal life. And you'll have good eternal life. It won't be eternal life. We're going to have eternal life whether we believe in him or not. It's just a matter of, are we going to be suffering for eternity, or are we going to be in God's presence and enjoying, you know, his paradise with him for the rest of our lives? So we're trying to skirt that issue, of course, and we're trying to recreate or create our own eternity in doing these type of things. And so we spend a lot of effort, people who are obviously designing these things. I don't know if they know it consciously, what they're doing, but they're certainly trying hard to make these things look and feel like humans. And if you if you read this article from the point of view of these have human expressions, they're responding to the journalist's questions, they're looking at them, they're turning. If somebody is in on the corner of the room, they will look and turn at them and respond to them, and smile or whatever. And so they have facial expressions just like humans do.
You know what would be interesting, it says they had identifiable male and female characteristics. There were nine of them apparently, and specific talents and careers. Two even resembled their makers. Now that suggests to me that they looked physically male or female. And they may have dressed them to look like a rock star or a scientist or whatever they did. But did they actually embed a personality type in the humanoid so that one differed from the other? That would be quite an accomplishment if it were the case.
It sounds like that's what they're doing. And if you look at one of the links, they have videos of these humanoids, if you will, responding to questions, and they are trying to give them, and it sounds like two of them, they're trying to give the personality of their in quote creator. Why would you do that? It's because you think that, okay, yeah, I love myself so much, I'm going to recreate myself. And it's the science fiction movies where they actually develop a whole movie out of humanoid becoming like the creator, and the creator, of course, the humanoid responds to the creator as their creator. And we're trying to approach that, and it is really quite amazing. I mean, they've done some amazing things with these things, but they've given them careers, for example.
They've created a backstory, but that could be done by any copywriter. It doesn't mean that technically they have a preference. These humanoids have a preference or a nature that you would expect from a rock star or a scientist. Now, the authors of this Federalist article, by the way, there's a link to that in the chat window, too, at brokenroadradio.com. Emily Panette and Jerry M. Roper make an interesting connection with the Tower of Babel. And they say it's the same motivation as those people with their technology of making bricks and building what we would call a ziggurat or a tower, so that they can get themselves up high and feel lifted up spiritually as well and become like gods, and that God then confused the languages. In other words, they just suddenly discovered somehow multiple languages and could not communicate with each other. These people in the Federalist article say we're approaching that same situation now because of all the political and social separation that we're experiencing in our society. From gender issues to race issues to economic issues to just about everything, political issues, we're all so divided. We're confused now. We're not communicating with each other. That somehow that's similar. That's kind of scary. We're back where we started.
Oh, we are. Yeah, we're back where we started. But the article doesn't quite go into this, completely. But yes, the Tower of Babel, which is in Genesis 11, for anybody who, wants to reread that section of the Bible, is an interesting story because as you recall, leading up to that, of course, there was the Great Flood, and which all the land creatures, including all of man, were killed, and the only ones that survived were those that were on the ark. And Noah and his family, his three sons and their two wives, and of course his wife, are the only survivors from the Great Flood. And it's not long after that that Noah's descendants, if you will, start building cities. God told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so they disobeyed God, and they formed cities. And a matter of fact, they formed three major cities. And in the middle of the three cities is this tower that they're building up to heaven. Now, their leader was Nimrod. And it says that in the Bible, it says that he was a great hunter. He was a great hunter. It doesn't say who was he a great hunter of. You were left with the impression that he was a great hunter of animals. But he was really a great hunter of man because he was turning man's heart away from God in towards him. So he gets these people to build this tower. Of course, they're using. Now, it's interesting. They're making bricks. They're not cutting stones, but they're making bricks. You'd probably have a lot of mud around after the flood.
And they were baking those bricks. That was what was there. It was new technology then.
Yeah, and they were baking the bricks, but they were using tar or pitch, the same type of material probably as was over the inside and the outside of the ark to make it waterproof. So they carried the part of the technology through the flood that God had given Noah and his family on how to preserve, if you will, how to create this structure that would be able to float and carry them ultimately through safety through the Great Flood. And so they're building this tower up to heaven. But the whole desire, of course, is to be like gods again. So we go back to Genesis 3 and the original sin in our desire to be like God. And of course, they're communicating there. They have one language. And so God comes down and confuses the language so that they wouldn't. God says that. If they're doing this, nothing's going to be impossible for them, which is an interesting statement, all in itself, that, God would say that, that there would be essentially no limit to what they can achieve if they continue with this. Now, was he talking about there would be no limit into their spiritual, heights that they could reach, or their mechanical abilities, or whatever it was? We don't know. It's not 100% clear as to what that would be.
Well, I would suggest God was saying that they would have total control over each other. That is, humans would run the show.
Yeah. Well, certain humans would run the show.
Yes. I mean, inevitably, that's what happens.
Yes. So certain humans would run the show. Everybody else would be the labor, if you will, to keep the machine going. And then you would have Nimrod at the top. Well, you know, that's going to happen again with not Nimrod. We call him the Antichrist coming at the end of this age, if you will. There will rise up another one with a anti-God spirit like Nimrod had, and want to control all the people of the earth. AI technology, by the way, allows that to happen. And AI technology, you talked about the division amongst the people. That's the division amongst the people is just a way of destroying the current cultural norms. So if we can tear down a civilization by destroying, by causing conflict between individuals within that civilization, then we can rebuild it, if you will, into our own image and the way we want to rebuild it.
If we destroy enough institutions.
Yes, institutions, you know, we destroy faith. If you look at the far left's agenda, it really is a faith destruction from everything, from, you know, the moral destruction to, you know, you have to obey us. We know best for you by taking, we demand that you take the vaccine. We demand that you put on masks. We demand that you, you know, distance yourself 6 feet from everybody. We certain businesses you have to close. Other businesses you can be open, but you got to put 6 foot markers in your checkout lanes and those type of things. That's all about control and the governmental control. So the rising up of you know, if you will, a one world government is leading us back to the tower.
Well, that brings me to my next question. At the risk of getting very political, what is the United Nations doing messing around with AI and press conferences to show off AI humanoids? How does this fit in with the charter of the United Nations? What's their intent here? Entertainment? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. So if you can make a police force.
Oh my. Of these, chills all of a sudden.
Yeah, of these humanoids, they look human. Oh, they're friendly, you know. Oh, they'll smile at you when you pass by. But they're also watching you 24/7. And there was a movie called I, Robot, which I've watched several times. But the servants, if you will, of everybody, you could get a robot. And they could cook dinner for you, and they can clean your house, and you didn't have to worry about any of that. They could do constructions, and you would have all of this time, you know, free time available. Well, the mother AI that was controlling it all went a little berserk, and then turned the robots into a Gestapo, if you will. And corralling all of the people, and you know, started killing people, and the AI robots were now taking over the world. Now, you know, will it get that far? Probably not. But there will be a human in charge that you could easily see could control these robots, if you will, these humanoid bots. And you know, they're so friendly looking and so helpful to society that we invite them into our homes, and they're watching everything and listening to everything that we do. Now, we have a little bit of that going on with your cell phone and with things like Siri and Alexis and everything. They're listening. You know, the device is listening to what you're saying. And if it thinks that it hears a command, it then responds. You know, I've had my Apple Watch, you know, talk to me when I'm not talking to it. It's like, what did I say to wake mm-hmm. you up? Can you imagine having one of these bots in your home doing the same thing? But having, of course, they'll be super strong because they're mechanical and, you know, probably hydraulic driven and all of this stuff. So you couldn't defend yourself against them.
They don't get tired. They don't get tired. They don't wear out.
They don't wear out. They don't get tired. And they're just ever, ever present. You know, and so who knows, you know, who knows? but we do know that one of the things in the end times in Revelation, of course, is that people will worship the beast. And what if all of these AIs, or if these humanoids, for example, resembled the beast, that is the Antichrist? He loves himself so much, and he thinks that he is God, and a matter of fact, takes the place of God in the Holy of Holies when the new temple is built, and all of these humanoids then look like him. And so he can hear and see exactly what you're doing, and you know, you better bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar, or you get thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, these stories that we often, you know, read in the Bible, we think, okay, you know, that's an interesting thing. And King Nebuchadnezzar obviously was a little crazy, you know, thinking that he was God. But that spirit does not go away. That anti-spirit does not go away, has not gone away, and won't go away until God, you know, Jesus himself locks him up into you know, the pit and chains him for 1,000 years. Will we be free of that type of spirit? So man will continue to strive and do, you know, to accept that spirit. And it's a type of thing that if you don't believe in the Creator God, then you believe that you are the God ultimately, and that's where that leads, because that Antichrist spirit then infiltrates you and is more than happy to control you, and so that you can start controlling other people, and the end thereby will be what we read about in Revelation, and ultimately the destruction of man, you know, trying to lead everybody to worship ultimately one man who is, I believe, is indwelt by Satan himself.
What we're seeing is our basic nature, our corrupted nature, our sin nature, right in front of us through AI and through other means, as we see developments in society and around the world. And if you analyze this, there's only one possible solution, only one way out. To not accept Christ as your Savior and as God's answer to this dilemma leads you inevitably to chaos and violence and decrepitude. And if science can do it, it will. I don't think there's a law. It's an ethics thing. Ethics doesn't mean what you think it means if you have the capability of doing something you want to do. Somewhere, somebody is going to do it, regardless of the ethical situation. So it's almost inevitable, I think, that this progresses to a point where all of a sudden there is death and destruction. I think it points to the end. Everything in the Bible I read points to what's coming, not necessarily to just what was.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it is a far foreshadowing of what is to come, you know, in a microcosm, for example, even the Battle of Jericho. You know, why walk around a city for 7 days and on the seventh day blow trumpets and then the walls come down? I mean, you know, really, what was God thinking? I mean, why did he have the Israelites do that? So those are the type of questions that I ask when I read the Bible and say, hey, this has got a bigger meaning to it, and it's pointing to the end times. So it's, we're I think we're rapidly approaching the end times. Even with AI, for example, you can put right now, you can put earplugs. You can have a pair of earplugs. One you stick in your ear, the other you give to a person in a, you know, that speaks a different language, and they can speak and you can hear them. They can speak in their own language and you can hear them in your language.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the opposite of what we, you know, what you were saying earlier, that yes, there's all this division that's going on, but that's just a ploy to break down the moral norms and the societal structure so that it can be rebuilt again. But we have the technology to remove the babble, if you will, and we're rapidly trying to do that so that we could then communicate with anybody on the face of the earth, regardless of their language. We have the ability and the technology to do that. And with the microchips being made smaller and smaller and smaller, with much more memory and all of this other stuff, having an earplug stuck in your ear and you can understand the other person. Now, it probably only has one language in it. I don't know how far they've got. But if you could have one of these devices for one language, why not 10? Why not 20? Why not 100? Sure. Why not 120? Why not every language on the earth? And so you could go anywhere on the earth and speak to anyone else and get them to help you with whatever business deal that you want to do. And now we've made the earth one earth again, because we're doing that with, you know, being able to fly everywhere and travel everywhere. But now the language barrier was the last barrier, and we're overcoming that.
And I would suggest that anyone who thinks technology can foil God's plan is well, he's got a comeuppance in his future. He's going to be surprised and shocked to learn that that's not the case. But still, the path between here and there could entail a lot of human misery and destruction. And so AI is a concern. And it was a fruitful topic, I think, this morning, Don. Thanks very much for your analysis. And for those who would like to read the article or see the pictures of the humanoids, you can go to brokenroadradio.com. Click on those links there in the chat window. You might also pay a visit to creationmoments.com, and there you will find scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. And it's a great resource for you to have for your personal studies, Bible studies, and individual studies, creationmoments.com. Don, well, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week and look forward to that. Okay?
All righty. Very good. You folks have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too, Don. Thank you.